if for some reason, not saying his, but if for some reason, he'd go under. John Epps went under. Ryan Starkey went under. The people that live there have no recourse to go back to have this, have the road fixed, maintaining the roads that was promised when they bought up into the upper track. They have no recourse there. So to issue a permit for nightly rentals there without Steve Creighton's name being put on there, he, as long as he is alive, he has to maintain it. I don't think that's fair to the community. The community has to have some kind of right to where they live to have safe access. As is brought out, he may maintain it. The road looks like crap now. You guys drive down it. I've seen people throw rocks as it brought out, fill holes up. They gather rocks up, fill the holes up, so they can start to drive through it. You know, that is one concern. I mean, you guys know there's more traffic there. Anytime you build duplexes, you're looking at the amount of cars there, it will increase dramatically. And whether they come past my house as they first come in, or they come down Holt Road, is to increase the traffic, is to deteriorate the roads. With privately owned homes, they may be traveling on it, but not as much as nightly rentals will, because they'll be going in and out, traffic will be dressed. I mean, it's just more of a safety issue, like I brought out the first time. The roads are very narrow. The curves, the round curves, they're not square curves, so yeah, they can drive right up over the curb and park on the grass, it would be no big deal. They're off it, they may be halfway on the street, halfway off the street. Okay, I'm sure Scott will not answer the phone at 10 o'clock at night to get somebody out there to take care of moving these vehicles. He may the next day call and say, hey, this owner's, this is problems. Okay, the car's gone then. It doesn't do anything for us where we live to try getting a hold of somebody to get these people to move their cars. You go knock on the doors, they'll probably laugh at you. You guys know that as well as I do. If you guys had that problem, and you went and knocked somebody's door, you think, oh yeah, no problem, I'll run out and move it right away. That's not logical. It's not realistic. This is something realistic to each and every one of us. Our homes, our privacy, something that we enjoy, that we want to live there for the rest of our lives. That was my plan. I mean, I worked hard. I was in construction. I ran a ranch. And I retired because I wanted to enjoy my life. You can't enjoy it when you have people that come in for a day or two, maybe 3 days, to come in to enjoy Branson, which is for. That's why they have the motels and that's why they have hotels. What will that do to the hotels and motels, their rentals? It affects them. They don't have the amount, their money's not coming in that they thought they would have because the nightly rentals are out there now, especially on weekends. It affects the whole community. Not just our track, but it affects all the people that live in Branson, everybody that owns the hotels and motels. So this is something that needs to be seriously thought about and rejected. Not like the first one where it's a split decision. It needs to be 100% as rejection because it affects each and every one of us. Any questions?
Okay. Any more questions? Any more comments before we move forward?
I was just looking at the my name is Jill.
Thank you.
Will, and I live at 155 Sunrise Cove. I was just looking at the definition of compatibility. And it says compatibility is a state in which two things are able to exist or occur together without problems or conflict. And definitely there is conflict. So that shows that nightly rental, there are no nightly rentals currently in Cross Creek. So I do not feel that they are compatible with what is currently there. So I'd like for you guys to deny it.
Thank you. Anybody else?
What happens, Scott, if you pull that 1,000 foot off of that property?
I'll go to the middle of it. Or from that one, it's closer to the middle.
And that's just all vacant land. It's never been developed. I see some development.
This is another section of Cross Creek.
That is. Do they own those other properties that aren't divided?
They.
East and west of it?
No, this one is owned by Great Southern. Okay. This piece is owned by Great Southern. The lots are still owned by Great Southern. There's a couple of houses in this section, but...
And they're accessed the same way across the dam?
Well, they're accessed either through Holtz Lake or the dam.
Okay, correct. One or the other they have. Mm-hmm. No other, yeah, I see it's dead end.
Mm-hmm. Those were cul-de-sacs at the end.
Okay, Steve, you guys have anything you want to say?
Yes. One thing that was brought up that we don't stand behind what we say we're going to do, we've actually bought and finished many subdivisions and brought them up to county standards, completed them, finished them 100%, and both in the city of Hollister, Branson, and throughout Taney County. We have developed and finished roads, and we've worked with homeowners associations, we've created homeowners associations, and we have, through the 2008 to 2012 economy, which I think everybody remembers, we survived that. We stayed strong. It was tough. But we followed everything we did. So we are a company that stands behind what we're doing. I am training the next generation to take over to that same effect, which is my three sons, only two are here, so that this continues. That is our goal. So, you know, we ask for approval, of course. You know, the difference is, as one person pointed out, the road is full of rocks and everything, and you can't do it. It's a public access. Anybody can use it. They can drive through there right now if they want, except for the boat parked at the other end in the middle of it. There is a boat parked there. It is something that would get cleaned up. It would look better. It would be dressed up. Everything would be landscaped. Nightly rentals are predominantly maintained way better than houses that are used for rentals. And then they're maintained better than a lot of regular houses. So I beg to say, nightly rentals aren't bad. They do help increase property values around as they do sell for more. So they do cost more to build also.
I have a question for you. There was a statement about the rock ledge, and I think you could even see it in the picture that there is quite a bit of a cut there for that road. So, how much of that rock ledge is going to have to be
cut? I don't believe any of it has to be moved. I believe that has already been broke out to the 50-foot wide easement that's through there. The sewer's coming in the back of the property. The water's already there. So the only thing we've got is curb and gutter and pavement.
And I'm sure Scott said it earlier, but I just want to make sure I clearly understood. Currently, that parcel is zoned what? Is it already?
It's zoned within the 69-acre agreement of the subdivision to be multifamily, office, retail, and residential.
Under permit 0132... they approved a multi-use project consisting of multifamily, single-family offices and retail shopping center. Okay.
So, I mean, with that, we can go to Scott, apply for a permit, and put a supermarket there. I mean, that is completely capable of doing that. It wouldn't make sense, but it could be done. It could be offices and whatnot. We're asking, and we have worked to try to design our product to look like single family. Yes, it would have more parking out front. That is the difference. It will have landscaped yards that are mowed and maintained regularly because people don't want to come in and rent a nightly rental that is unmowed and has trash all over the place and all that. I've been through a lot of areas that have nightly rentals, and usually the problem are other neighbors that don't care about their house or are going through foreclosure or whatever. And when people go through that, they do have their issues, and they don't care about their property. So I think this puts it in better hands of people, and that it's very compatible. And as we pointed out, the traffic flow, and again, I can give you the report, does not increase from residential. And whether the people like it or not, there are approximately 100 lots that will be developed and built in that subdivision. And it will be probably 10 years of building that's going to happen there. It's going to be 10 years of wear and tear on the roads while they're building, which is 100% acceptable. The same thing happened when their homes were built. The phase that they talked about, which is called the Woodlands, which is up in the northeast corner, the bank has started repairing the roads that are in question, although I wouldn't say they're doing it right. But they are at least making an attempt because the roads are horrible up there. The rest of the roads in the subdivision are pretty good. There's a couple of old ones that need some work that the county's been working on getting, and some neighbors here have been great at working with the county to get Road and Bridge to take over roads. I think that developing the property, brings the whole fact that we're willing to improve crossing the lake and fixing that road and making it for everybody to use. And again, it comes out right on 76 where they designed with MoDOT for the full use of that entire property to be developed, including all the commercial outlots at, whatever capacity that they figured to allow cars to go in and out. I don't know how they designed the roundabout, but it's way better than before the roundabout. If you remember, you were waiting 45 minutes from somewhere around T Highway to get over the bridge, and now you wait from around 8 o'clock at Lakeshore Drive for a couple minutes. So I think traffic has been improved immensely there. And all that was taken into consideration of all the stuff that MoDOT approved, and, the old developer did put in a turn lane all through there. He paid for that, with MoDOT's approval and everything for the entrances to house way more capacity than we're even coming close to asking for. Sure. Thank you.
Thanks, Steve.
Any questions?
Rick, any questions?
No, I have a question. John Waterman, 121 Comfrey Court. Would you ask, when it did these HOA startups, who's in control of those now?
The HOA?
Yes.
Well, that would be the HOA is.
Huh?
An HOA would be in, the HOA itself would be in control of that.
Well, the developer is ahead of it, as long as he has more than 51%, or 51%.
Right.
So, that's what I'm afraid of here. He just mentioned he has 80 houses he could build. He would have it outnumbered. Therefore, he could start up HOA for Cross Creek and take over to our real estate.
Yeah.
That's what scares me.
To clarify, I didn't say we own 80 lots. I said that there's 80 lots left to be developed.
Gotcha.
We own 40 that we own the board. Okay. We own about half of them.
50. That's right.
Again, my name is Doug Will. I'd like for you to throw this question at Steve, and I could be wrong, so if I'm wrong, I know he'll correct me. He said that once he builds, that they will maintain landscape, mow the yards, do everything to keep the area looking nice. Is that a true statement that he just made a few minutes ago? Okay. If that is a true statement, like I brought up a minute ago, why, when I asked his son about maintaining from my back fence to the lake, he said when it gets a foot to 2 foot tall. I'm just going by what he said, that he would maintain it. He owns it now. Why can't he maintain it?
Okay.
Why can't he have it look nice? Everybody else mows around it, mows to the rocks and everything. But because of the way my fence set up, I can't get out to mow it. So the question would say is, why didn't he man of his word and maintain the property he has right now?
Okay.
The state has control of weeds and grass.
Okay. Any more comments before we go into the discussion? Okay. Board?
I guess I'll make the same comment that I made last time. I think we as a board have to determine whether the previous board has made an error in how they've determined compatibility or